is Psalm 139 and verse 16. So let's begin there this morning. Psalm 139 and verse 16. I don't know how long it's been since you have read the entire Psalm 139, but it is like the Word of God. All of our Father's words there, astounding and amazing. But verse number 16 says, "Your eyes," speaking of our Heavenly Father, "your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." Now, we could do some extensive teaching on this morning. I just want to touch on it for a moment. The Bible says that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You came into this earth through your mother's womb, but you came from a source that is even greater than your father's seed and your mother's egg. Amen. We all came forth from our Creator Father. And the Bible says that He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before. We even see in reference to the prophets, and I believe it's true of them, it's true of us this morning. We're kings and priests and prophets unto our God. That He appointed us. In other words, you are who you are on purpose. You are when you are on purpose. We didn't live 150 years ago. Amen. And if Jesus tarries His return to the earth 150 years from now, none of us, even the babies among us, we'll all be on the other side. And there'll be another generation of people here taking the gospel baton and running with it. Amen. So we are alive at a predetermined time, if you will, by our Heavenly Father. But it also says that He gave you purpose and grace. Purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time began. So when it says here in Psalm 139 that your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, meaning before there was a physical body to put you into, amen. Father God knew you, saw you, appointed you. Again, a lot of different verses we could look at this morning, but just try to stay focused on this one. It says, "And in your book, they all were written," and you have to pay attention to the punctuation here because we see that there's a second sentence in verse 16 that begins with a capital A. "And in your book, they all were written," comma, what was written? "The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." What is he talking about here? When we see it develop further as more and more is revealed about this as the Bible unfolds, culminating in the New Testament where we see that we were given purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time began. Father wrote your life story before you ever lived a single day on this planet. Now, I share that with people and folks that have had some difficult periods in their life, you know, they say, well, why did God write that part about my divorce? Or why did God write that part about my car wreck? Or why did God write that? Well, again, you have to remember that the Bible also says that we all went our own way, that we all did our own thing. And that in Isaiah, he says that the Lord God, Father God has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. And the great story of the gospel is Jesus bringing us back into the family, restoring us back into oneness with God, and then helping us get back on script, amen, with the story that Father God has written for our lives. I've shared this many times, but first time I ever was in a vehicle, I was in Franklin, Tennessee. I was in a car with a GPS. Now, GPS on our phones and everything for you younger generation. You know, there was a time when that was like a really big deal. I mean, that was considered a luxury item. And it's the first time I'd ever been in a vehicle with a GPS. And I was just fascinated. I even remember opening, Wally, I opened the sunroof to, like, I'm looking up, like, how did they know? I mean, you know, it's telling me 500 feet, take this turn. And so I then decided, well, I'm just going to, it was telling me to turn right, and I took a quick left and punched it, you know, just see what would happen. I was so curious, right? Well, the screen went blank. Anybody remember the old GPS? Screen went blank, and then it started flashing, rerouting, and then it started telling me directions again to get back to my original destination. And I'll never forget, man, the Lord just, it was such a real moment. He's like, my Holy Spirit's like that. No matter how many wrong turns you take, I can always get you back to where I had planned for you to be, the life that I planned for you to live. Most of you know this. And by the way, thanks to Matt and Don for filling in for me. And thanks to my beautiful daughter and covenant son. Get emotional. They invited us to go to Disney with them. And it was funny. They told us on the trip, they said, we almost didn't invite you. We didn't think y'all would want to come. I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, no offense, but I'd go to Northport and sit in a Hampton Inn hotel with you guys. You know, just amen. I shared this story recently with the discipleship class. It's been, I guess, 35 years ago. I was at Disney and the Lion King puppet show, and they were singing that song about this little Simba lion who didn't know his place in the world. And Ginger, I thought they were going to have to call the paramedics. I was crying uncontrollably. Because even though I was in full-time ministry, I'd carried the youth group. Pam and I were youth pastors, carried the youth group there. I just knew that I still hadn't found my place yet. You know, I was getting closer, I guess. If I look back on it now, I was getting closer, you know what I'm saying? But I still, it was the thing that led me to the thing that led me to the thing that led me to the thing, right? You know? Well, they've upgraded that puppet show in the last 35 years, but I remember sitting there just a couple of days ago thinking, you know what? I know my place in this world now. And, but see, the Holy Spirit is the one who, he searches even the deep things of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's trying to bring us back into walking in step with the Holy Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And my covenant brother, Mark White, and he taught me many years ago, that means to walk in step with the Spirit. You know, think about, like, if you ever walk beside somebody and you're matching their steps, you know, we want to walk in step with the Spirit, because again, God has written a beautiful, wonderful story for your life. And I'm going to tell you, it has a happy ending, a really, really, really happy ending. And you know, spoiler alert, okay, you get everything back and then some, that the enemies try to steal from you and take from you. Amen. Now, if we take this verse, and I know we're here this morning to talk about East Africa, and this is where I felt led to start this morning, because the Bible also reveals to us that every human being that God has created has a purpose. Amen. And a lot of our purposes collectively are similar. It's everyone's purpose to be kind. It's everyone's purpose to worship God. It's everyone's purpose to tell other people about the love of God. But then within that greater umbrella of purpose, there are specific and individual things that God has gifted and gave you talent and ability to do that not other people have. I don't want to be offensive when I say this, but all people created equal is not a Bible verse. We are very diverse people. And so the scripture says things like, you are the body of Christ. and a member individually. So our Heavenly Father not only knows you as an individual, He knows you as a part of the collected whole, which means He knows where you fit in. He knows where you fit in. And finding where we fit, amen. People ask me sometimes, would you like to go back to, you know, your high school days and do it all over again? And I'm like, only if I can carry back with me what I know now. Middle school years are not very happy years for me because I was trying to find where I fit. And I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, call of God on my life, walking down the halls of, in those days, Pittman Middle School. And I was a square peg trying to find a round hole, man. I just didn't fit. Are you following me? Amen. And so, you know, where we connect, and I've got some Bible verses I'll share in just a minute with all that, but because we all have a very specific purpose, Romans 12:3 tells us that we cannot fulfill that purpose unless we work together with other people. Amen. A specific purpose that requires our ability to work with other people. Let's turn there very quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans, I got all these notes and now we're using verses that aren't even in the notes. But let's go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I want to show it to you in the scriptures. Amen. I love what Joel and Hannah did in youth back even before we changed from Mondays to Wednesdays. Joel quit putting the verses on the screen and gave all them young people a Bible. Just need to find them in the Bible, right? And kind of challenged me like that. So, you know what? We're spoiling folks. Amen. Bible. Praise God. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, if you'll pay close attention, religion has told us we should not think highly of ourselves. That's not what it says. It says you should think highly of yourself, just not more highly than you ought to. Are you following me? Berating yourself, self-deprecation, kicking yourself, punishing yourself with your words and your thoughts and your internal voice. My friend, that's the devil's work. That's the devil feeding those thoughts into your heart and mind. That is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit is to encourage. Now, He will correct you. The Holy Spirit will correct you, but He will never degrade you or humiliate you or shame you. Amen. That's what the enemy tries to do. So He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but instead to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. He goes on to explain that we have different, according to the grace of God, we have different gifts. Okay? Now, what does it mean then to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? To think more highly of yourself than you ought to think means you think you can do what God put you on this earth to do without other people. My thumb is a very, very important member of my body. I'm right-handed. My right hand is dominant. And my right hand has four fingers and a thumb, or five fingers. And you could say, like, the most important hand is the right one. The most important finger is the thumb on the right hand. But if my thumb thinks it doesn't need my body or its four closest members to do what it's supposed to do, then it's thinking more highly of itself than it ought to think. Is my thumb important? Should my thumb think highly of itself? See, I mean, my thumb can even agree with that, right? Just thumbs up, right? Yes, yes, and yes, okay? All right. But if you disconnect this thumb from the body, right, now it cannot fulfill its purpose. Now, whether the members of the body of Christ understand that or not, the enemy understands that. Satan understands that. And he's trying to get you separated from the body. You can't do what God puts you on this earth to do unless you are connected to and with the body of Christ. Amen. Simply put, we need each other. Right? But watch this though. If I have a specific purpose given to me by God before time began, and I cannot fulfill that purpose without other people, if the purpose is specific, then the other people cannot be random. If my purpose is specific and it cannot be fulfilled without other people, the other people aren't random. They're also specific. You follow me? Now, God oversees all of this. It's the Holy Spirit's job, if you will, to help make these connections. But from what I'm telling you this morning, and this is something that I've been saying for many, many years, based upon these verses, this means, are you ready? That we all came out of our mother's wombs looking for a certain group of people. Our tribe. Amen. What does that mean? It means the people whose gifts and callings and talents and abilities are meant to work together with your gifts and talents and callings and responsibility. Are you following what I'm saying here? I'm going to say it again. If the purpose is specific and it can't be fulfilled without other people, then the other people can't be random. They also have to be specific. Jesus didn't say, give me 12, any 12 will do. Jesus, he prayed all night. I believe the hardest one for him to pick was Judas. Right? Because notice now, Judas, the Bible, he had to pick somebody who would hear everything Jesus had to say, witness everything Jesus did, all the miracles, even raising people from the dead, and still choose money over God. It was strategic. Think about that for a minute. And Jesus even said it'd be better if he'd never been born. Wow. Wow. So I'm going to break it down a little further. Let's go back to the book. Remember, every day of your life written in a book before you ever lived a single one. I picture that as a giant library in heaven. And somewhere on those shelves, there's a book, and I picture it with the name Mark Winslet on the spine of that book. And if you pull that book out, and you start going through the pages, a lot of your names are going to be in that book. I was thinking about the conversation we had the other night, Sister Erica. Amen. That day of my life, the day that I had the privilege of teaching a class at the Foundry where you decided there was a God after all and you wanted him in your life and you received Jesus as your Savior, right? That was written before either one of us were ever formed in our mother's womb. That day, that moment, that precious moment in time. Amen. The first time I ever heard Chris Pilkerton's name, I started crying. That sounds so silly, doesn't it? Back in those days, the offices were configured a little differently, and Mom was in one of those back offices back there, and I had come in, and she was in there working, and we got to talking, and she said, do you remember Danielle? What's Danielle's maiden name? I'm looking her right in the face. Danielle, she said, do you remember Danielle Scott? I said, I do remember Danielle Scott. She said, well, she married a Rhema graduate. And I said, really? I said, what's his name? Mom said, his name is Chris Pilkerton. And I started crying. It sounds so weird. I know. I mean, it embarrassed me. There was a few other people. I think Pastor Rick may have been in there that morning or whatever. And I mean, I was like stepped out. Signs about like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. It's just, he's supposed to be on staff here. Never met the man. He's supposed to be on staff here. Because see, here's the thing. If you pull Chris Pilkerton's book off a shelf and you pull my book off a shelf, you're going to find my name in his book and you're going to find his name in my book. Well, again, some challenging years there. Pastor Chris Danielle launched out, and after being on staff here for many years, and after some time, matter of fact, it was about 12 years ago, I was driving down the road one day, my phone rang. Pastor Chris hadn't heard from him in, I don't know, months. He said, I'm going to Africa, and I want you to go with me. Now, my first thought was, I'm so involved at the Foundry. I've got so much going on here. I don't like to miss Sundays. My first thought, Kim, was every reason why I couldn't go. And I wanted to just go ahead and tell him right then, man, I appreciate the invitation, but I can't go. But it's like the Lord just kept checking me. So, okay. Well, I'll discuss it with Pam, and Pam will tell me that it's not a good idea. And Pam said, if that's what you need to do, But you understand, it was on that trip where the Lord, don't misunderstand me now, the Lord did a lot of amazing things on that trip. And one of the amazing things the Lord did on that trip was he healed the relationship between Chris and I. We sit there under mosquito nets to the wee hours of one morning talking and crying and amen. But there was a man named Cornelius. He was my favorite translator. Nothing against if any of those other guys that translated for me are listening. We just could fall into a rhythm. It's just hard. It was more than something physical or natural. And I don't know when, Cornelius, but one day I want you to stand right here and tell everybody your story. But Cornelius was rejected as a child. Cornelius's mother was second wife to Cornelius's biological father. When I say second wife, polygamy. He was married to two women. And all that was fine until she got pregnant with Cornelius. Another mouth to feed. He put him out. His mother named him, on his birth certificate in their tribal language, it means less than nothing is what the man is. He was told his whole life that she would have a good place to live if it wasn't for him. The hurt, the rejection, inner vows, the counselors in the room, right? Well, what I didn't know is that while I'm sitting there preaching and he's translating for me, God is setting him free. When I say free, I'm talking about like I got on a plane and came home. He got in his car, went and filled it up with as many groceries as he could fill it up with and made a trip back to people that he said he'd never speak to again, much less. See, they wouldn't feed him, so he, guess what? He's carrying them, right? Set him free. Set him free. And so the Lord knit our hearts together during that time. It's a long story, but when we were trying to connect, you know, and struggled in so doing, but again, the Lord finally was able to connect. And that was when he told me what all God had done in his life and that he wanted my permission to start a Heritage Christian Center. And I said, my permission, man, are you kidding? Yes, let's do it, you know. Jerry O'Dell talks about working in other countries, and he said the main thing, obviously the Holy Spirit and all that, but he said even more than money, he said the thing that you need to be effective in another country is someone he calls a champion. A champion. And what he means by that is somebody that is a man or a woman of integrity, someone who is a visionary, a leader, someone who will work hard to do whatever has to be done to get the job done. And of course we found our champion in Cornelius. When I say we found him, I don't even like to say it that way. The Lord led us to our champion. But see, now watch this. All the things that have transpired from that first meeting until now, I never saw any of that coming. There were things that Father had written. Are you seeing this? I knew since I read Mark Bentayne's book, Cry of Calcutta, when I was a little kid. I knew that, man, we got to do something overseas. And we got so many churches here and so many financial resources here, but so few other places around the world. And there was a time in my life, matter of fact, I've got some old Bibles. When I say old Bibles, former Bibles, and you understand what I mean by that, where I had written a lot of things in there. I say this sometimes. If you had asked me when I was 12 years old, would I be standing at the Foundry helping men and women overcome addiction, or would I be somewhere in India as a missionary? I would have told you when I was 12 years old, I'd be in India as a missionary, not. Amen. I'm rambling now, so let me try to get back to where we need to be to wind this up. We want the purposes of God to prosper. Amen. And those purposes prosper through these connections. Are you following me? Through these, I don't even like using the word relationship anymore because it's too vague of a word. But it is relationships. It's of the deepest kind, of the most profound kind, of the eternal kind. So for those of you who aren't aware, we now, the work has grown and it's continuing to grow. We now have 16 Heritage Christian Center churches in East Africa. And I want you to, I don't know how we would ever make it happen other than it might be easier to bring them here than you go there, but they're such a beautiful people. The humility and the gratitude. Some of them have so little, but they still, see, there's no public education there. So you have to pay to have your children educated. Some of these pastors are starting schools in their churches. They don't even have the money. Some of them have the money to send their own kids to school. But are you following what I'm saying? But they're feeding. There's a lot of orphans there because of HIV/AIDS. And when you see how, again, the humility and the gratitude and the desire to do something for God and His kingdom. Man, it is hard to put into words. And I've tried on several occasions to stand here and explain that to you. Amen. On their church sign, Mark, I don't know how many signs you've in your career, thousands, I guess, hundreds of thousands, hundreds or at least hundreds, maybe thousands of signs. They have on their sign their service times. And on the sign is the all-night prayer meeting. The all-night prayer meeting. I first told my mama that. She says, I hope they're praying for us. I know you did. I know you. And they are. And they are. I promise you they are. Amen. Amen. Let me read one more verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. This is speaking of Jesus. And it says, and he himself... gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is referring to ministry offices within the body of Christ. When it says he gave some to be, it doesn't mean he gave all to be. He gave some to be. He gave this office to me. Some of you heard my story. I knew it when I was a little kid, and one of the ways I knew it is because I didn't want to do it. I wanted to be a doctor. I didn't want to do what I'm doing. But that's just a kid, though. Thank God, you know. But notice now, there's a comma at the end of verse 11. So he gave these ministry gifts, these ministry offices, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they're given the assignment of equipping the saints, the members of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. Meaning what? We're all to be doing the work of the ministry. Also, for edifying of the body of Christ, that means to build up. To edify means to build up. I'm not here to tear you down, I'm here to build you up. To feed you a spiritual diet that will help you grow and be strong and mature in the things of God. And of course, we do this till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That word perfect there means mature. Remember, growth is the key. Growth is the key to change, right? We've been talking about that. Lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. So this is, again, he's talking about growth here. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Remember, one of Satan's main strategies against us is to corrupt our understanding. And of course, he's referring to that here. Now, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Father, help me to always speak the truth in love. You can speak the truth, but not in love, right? And it's the combination of the two. Speak the truth in love, notice, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The picture here is that of a human body, let's say a shoulder joint. Sometimes you see people have an accident or some type of injury and their shoulder becomes dislocated. And then it must be put back into joint, must be put back into place. The Holy Spirit's job is to put the individual members of the body of Christ in the place where they belong. In the place where they belong. Are you following me? That's very, very important. You have a place in the body of Christ. A place where you belong. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to put you in that place. Not Mama Nim's place. Not my place. Not my place. Lord told me in the early, early years of this ministry, that if there was going to be freedom while people are here, they've got to be free to come and free to go. Amen. Been a lot of folks left this church over the years that I knew were making a very big mistake when they left. That sounds arrogant. That sounds haughty. I'm just telling you. I'm just like, you know, and it's like everything in me wants to start tightening the emotional screws. Oh, we need you around here. No, see, again, do we need them around here? Yes, they need us around here as well. Are you following me? Knew it was a mistake. Knew it was a mistake. Tried. For those that had enough integrity and decency to come talk to me, you know, I could tell, you know, you do this long enough, Holy Spirit inside you, right? A conversation, a few minutes into it, I'll say, hold on just a second. I said, this might help both of us. Are you here to ask me or are you here to tell me? Kind of looks stunned. And if you're here to ask me, we'll have a conversation. If you're here to tell me, we'll just pray. And hopefully say hey to one another if we cross paths in Walmart. Amen. The only place I want you to be other than Heritage is where you're supposed to be. Where you're supposed to be. And I've been doing this a long time, and I'm not saying I get it right every time, but I meet people, sometimes just a total stranger, and I know in my heart, you came out of your mama's womb looking for me, and I came out of my mama's womb looking for you. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit's job is to set the individual member in the place where they belong within the overall body of Christ. Okay? But a shoulder joint is more than just a bone in a socket. There are all kinds of what we would call connective tissue that knit that joint together so that it can become functional. Right? Functional. We've got positional oneness and functional oneness. It's not enough to just be put in a place. Amen. Thank God if you find your place. But that's not the same as being knit together. So notice what he says. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective part, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So, what knits the individual member together with the body of Christ is when that individual member does their part. You have a supply. Part of that is a financial supply. Part of that is you have gifts and talents and abilities. Things that you can do. Things that you can fix. Are you following me? I ain't never seen people that can fix stuff like Mark McClellan and Rick Hosmer. Jerry Godwin. Are you? Thank God we've got people in this church that can fix stuff. And those men got a lot more to offer than just that, but they got that. I'm telling you, they got that in spades. Are you following me? That's part of their supply. It's what you've been given by God to offer. And that's what knits you together. People come here looking for something, they leave here, go somewhere else looking for something, they leave here, go somewhere else looking for something, they leave somewhere else looking for something. And they say, well, you know, I just never really felt like I fit in down there. Did you ever offer your supply? That's what knits you together with everybody else. Get there a few minutes late, leave a few minutes early so we don't have to interact with anybody. Let me show you the simplest supply you have to offer anybody in this room. A smile? on the trip, you know, you run into all these people, and there's one family we were in line with, and behind us, hey, where are y'all from? We're from Alabama. Really? What part of Alabama? Birmingham. Really? Keep going. What do you mean keep going? I said, well, we might be from Birmingham too. She goes, oh, well, because that's what you tell people, right? You know, so. She says, well, we're from Odenville. I said, keep going. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, my covenant daughter's from Margaret. We're actually from Margaret, but I figured if I told you Margaret, we would never know where we... What's your daughter? Gina Hyman, now Gina Winslet. Of course we know it. Right? I was sitting by Bethany on a bus one night, and she was talking to these people, and I looked over at her, I said, where are y'all from? To Bethany. Y'all know Bethany's my daughter. She just kind of gave me that look. She said, I started to say at the top of my lungs, from your loins! Help me, Jesus. All right. Notice, though, we connected with people. Right? Where are you from? That's just a simple question. Start a conversation. You stand in line for an hour, you might as well talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Are you following me? That's simple stuff. Anybody can do that. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you're only doing that and nothing else, what are you doing more than others? If even people that don't know God greet people who greet them. Again, it's part of your supply. How is it that God has knitted our hearts together with people half a world away? It's because He's put us together. He's connected us within His body. Amen. And we're offering them our supply. Praise God. Stand with me. Stand with me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, April the 6th, one of the things that our brothers and sisters in Africa do is they will target certain areas where they will assemble together. They'll do teaching and training during the day. They'll do evangelism in the evenings. They're seeing a significant number of people born again, and there's one coming up. I think it's in April the 6th, I believe. It's soon. Amen. And so let's, as we close out the service, let's pray over them and over that effort. Father, as we come before you this morning, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for the connection that you established between our hearts and our family of faith in East Africa, Lord, before time began. Lord, these were things that it wasn't random. It wasn't a coincidence, Father. It wasn't, just some luck of the draw. Father, these things were, you said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by you, Father. These are ordered steps. This is trusting in you with all of our heart, leaning not our own understanding, acknowledging in all of our ways, and you directing our paths, Father, through these connections where your purposes are prospering. Father, people are being delivered in East Africa. People are being saved in East Africa. People are being healed in East Africa. People are being filled with the Holy Spirit in East Africa. Father, your church is growing in East Africa, Father, because of the connection that you've established between our hearts and theirs. And so, Father, some in this room perhaps will go and will see firsthand. Others have, it's not in them, they have no interest or desire whatsoever to do that. But as Matthew was saying, Lord, we can send those who are willing to go. We can help those who are trying so hard, working so hard to reach their people. Father, I would say the least that we could do is help support them financially as they go about it. And so we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So one thing I want to mention, and I apologize. I know you're ready to go. We are sponsoring now it's really Count and Cornelius. It's kind of a different situation, but 14 pastors. Two of the pastors are pastoring two churches. Amen. And so we said a year ago, some of you said, you know, we want to support the pastors on a monthly basis, gave you opportunity to do that, no pressure. And thank you for doing that. But obviously we've added a lot more pastors since, and we are supporting all those pastors. But we gave them a raise. And if, now look, you say, Pastor Mark, I committed to $75, $80 a month, whatever it was. Some of you, and by the way, those of you who give to support, you said, you know what, we want to, y'all chose to give them a raise before it ever entered my, are you, in other words, you started saying just, instead of giving them $75 a month, let's just make it 100, right? And then those of you who had pastors that were given motorcycles, you said, well, they need some gas money too, so let's, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, if you'd like to do half of that, $50 a month or whatever, this is so that those pastors can support their families, is for their living expenses, amen, so that they can then devote themselves to the work of the ministry. And so pray about that. Talk to your family about that if you'd like to be a part of that. We are providing that support for all of them, but we don't have that many people signed up to do it because we've added so many. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. Go in peace. Be blessed. We love you. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your just faithfulness to give, your faithfulness to love. Ask the Lord this week, what of your supply can you offer to somebody else to make a difference in their lives?